Hello, friends. I'm your host, Nanette Weiser, and in this episode of Good Deeds, we talk to a gentleman who is the co-founder of the National Association for Single and Divorced Families. Welcome, Ron Platt. It's so good to have you in studio.
Thank you. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, before we get into this wonderful nonprofit, tell us a little bit about your journey, how you got to St. Pete. I know you've been a business professional and you're Mixed Marketing Alliance works with a lot of businesses. Tell us about your journey to St. Pete and what brought you here.
Sure. My husband and I are both natives of Miami. He came home one day and said, I think I'm done. And I said, oh, thank God. Miami had just, it's overbuilt. They do not have the infrastructure in place to go ahead and accommodate all the additional residents. So there's a lot of traffic. It's high energy. It's great while you're living there. But I kept seeing my friends moving to different parts of the country, and I kept saying, I want to move there. And then I had a very good friend of mine at the time move to St. Petersburg, and he said, you got to come see this place. We didn't even know where it was on the map. As everybody says, oh, isn't that Tampa or Sarasota? No, it's St. Petersburg. So we got in the car and came down, and the minute we crossed the Sky Bridge, I looked at my husband, and I said, do you feel that? And he said, yes. I said, this might be it. And 6 years later, here we are.
The city has changed a lot in 6 years. Tell us a little bit about your observations about how it has become more welcoming for a diverse population.
There is such a comfort level here between residents. I shortly after moving here, came here as the assistant team leader for Keller Williams in real estate. And my husband was still working in Boca Raton, so I had a lot of time to myself. So I went to a chamber event. And at the chamber, I met somebody who said, hey, you should join the Leadership St. Pete. And at the time, I literally had the application sitting on my desk, and he said, fill it out. Let's do this. And I did. And you know, you're interviewed with two different set of boardrooms, and they went ahead and accepted me. And that really got me involved in the city. It got me involved in politics. I got to meet a very diverse group of people that I never would have met had I not been part of the Leadership St. Pete program, class of 2020. Woo! From that, it opened up a wealth of knowledge about the city. It introduced me to people I never would have met. It's funny because in Miami, when I went to Publix, my husband wouldn't come with me because it was like showtime for me. I ran into everybody I knew, and I gave giving out my cards and all that kind of stuff. And when we were walking down Central Avenue one day, and somebody's beeping, and I look over, and it's a fire truck. And I look over, and there's Keith Watts going, hey, Ron Platt, how's it going? Because Keith was in my class.
It's a village here. It really is. And, you know, we just love the St. Pete Chamber. We were there at the annual meeting, and it was like just a love fest. So I get what you're saying. Let's turn our attention to being a foster parent and tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, that was an interesting journey. I went to visit a friend of mine in L.A., and he picks me up from the airport and said, hey, plans have changed. I'm getting my foster kid today. Do you want to come with me on this journey? And I said, yeah, absolutely. Let's do this. So I got to see the process of what he went through. And when I came back, I thought, I was single at the time. I said, I can do this. I went to a networking event. This lady gets up and says, hey, I'm looking for LGBTQT single and coupled individuals to take in gay children or gay foster children. Would you like to, you know, who's interested? And I looked up at God and I said, really? Like, okay, this is a sign. And I stepped forward, and along with about 20 or 25 other individuals, we became the first class to graduate as foster parents. And the day I got my license, Amy, who was the woman who ran the program, said, here's your license, there's your kid. And I went, whoa, wait a minute. I don't even know this kid. Do you mind if I get to know him? She said, yeah, he's homeless. You've got 2 days. Go for it. So I took in a 13-year-old kid who looked like he was older because he was much taller than I was, and started the process. And it was extremely challenging, not only from the trauma that he had, but the system itself was completely screwed up. And a lot of times when I was trying to get him into different programs or get him in front of a therapist, he would come home and say, Dad, I'm seeing a different therapist every week. And I can't keep telling the same story over and over again. And when I went to the social worker, she said, I can't keep him. The therapists are coming and going. And so I was fortunate enough to be able to pay to have private therapy for him. But I also began to see the atrocities that were going on. And my son would point out when I'm taking him to school how many homeless children there were on the streets that I never recognized. And I'd say, point them out to me. And he'd say, that one is a friend of mine. That one's a friend of mine. That one's a friend of mine. And I thought, and then suddenly your reticular activator kicks in, where suddenly that's all you see are these homeless children. So it became a part of that was the passion that inspired me to do NASDF, National Association for Single Divorce Families, because I said I've got to be able to somehow give these children a voice.
The numbers are astounding. The number of gay children, teenagers who are on the streets, homelessness, abusiveness. Your son is now 37 years old?
35. He's going to be 36 in April.
That's great. Yeah. And it's made you and you have a grandchild now?
I do. Him and his former husband adopted a baby girl, and she is the love of my life.
That is just lovely. So this was an idea of many years ago. Tell us, and you started this about 6 months ago. Is that right?
Yes. A little longer than that, about a year and a half ago. Joy and I started working on it.
Joy is here in studio.
Yes.
Joy's last name is?
Joy Reed.
Thank you, Joy, for being here. We're so delighted to have you and Ron and talk about this. So tell us about how this developed, NASDF.
I was in the insurance business for 16 years. With part of that time, I was working with my dad, and we were both in the product development business, and we're having lunch one day. My dad was the idea man. I was the implementer. And he said, I always wanted to put an insurance product together that would guarantee child support and alimony for death, disability, involuntary unemployment, and critical illness. And I looked at him, and I said, that's freaking brilliant. And I said, well, you know, we've got an association. Why don't we cater it towards people who are getting divorced in single-family households? And he said, that's brilliant. And we both went back to our prospective offices, did a bunch of research, and there was nobody catering to that demographic. And then we realized, wow, there's now, of course, there's 28 million people that they're not being provided the resources or products or services that they need at a time when their whole life is transitioning. My father was unable to place the insurance. I kid around and say on his deathbed, he was like, don't forget to call, and then he passed out. But it also was a time for me to realize that he and I did not make good partners, and I had to shelve the product about 5-6 years ago, went to a real estate networking event, ran into a gentleman who said, oh, I'm looking for 4 levels of residual income. And I said, how about 1, and you don't need the other 3? He says, what do you have? So that's when I took it off the shelf. Updated it because he did pursue me. He wanted the information. Joy was my real estate assistant at the time, looked over and said, what are you doing? And I said, I got this project my dad and I have been working on. I'm updating it. And she said, can I take a look at it? I said, sure, sign this NDA and take it home. And what's great is working with somebody who is autistic is they go in full on. They deep dive into everything that you give them. And she came back about 2 days later and went, oh, my God. There's nobody doing this. I said, I know. She goes, like, we could help millions of people. I said, I know. And she goes, and the fact that you want to do the foster reform and things like that, can I be in? And what I love is that, like my dad, I'm an idea man, but I'm also an implementer. But there's certain things that I hate doing. And one of those things is stuff dealing with software and computers and things of that nature. And that is where Joy thrives amongst many other things that she enjoys. So I said, here's how we got to set it up. Here's how it has to look and da-da-da. And she's been a phenomenal partner during this process. The gentleman that wanted to possibly fund it decided not to. And they came back and said, well, if it's such a good idea, why hasn't somebody else done it? Because we sort of tailor ourselves after AARP, they're doing the same stuff that we're doing. I said, well, if AARP has 36 million members and $1.7 billion in revenue, why hasn't somebody competed with them? And he said, I know you've said that before, but we're out. So I was devastated at the time because I was excited and everything else. And I'm driving home. And as I said, my father has since passed. And I get a very loud message in my head that says, you don't have anything. You need to go mortgage the house. You need to hire a PR company. You need to set up the website, get everything going, and people will throw money at you. And I looked up and said, I hear you, Dad. Let me talk to my husband. Got home. Sat him down, said, so, you know, I always wanted to start this thing, and now's the time. And my husband said, what do we need to do? I said, I need to mortgage the house. And he said, oh, he's not a risk taker, but he knows he lives with an entrepreneur, so he had to get used to that quickly. He said, what's the worst case and best case scenario? And I gave him both scenarios, and he said, let's do it. So with his backing, we went ahead and mortgaged the house, pulled out the money, hired Piper Inc., who's a local PR company who we love and adore, mm-hmm. and I think Joy and I got a lot of, I'd say, joy out of it when they came back to us and, about 2 weeks later and said, you have no competition. And we said, we know. And they said, and there's like 26 million people we could go after. I said, I know. And And we've never had something like this before, so we're getting kind of excited. With their help, they put together the website and pretty much figured out what colors, what scheme, what we needed to do to attract the audience. Everything that a PR company does, they were able to provide for us, and we launched NASDF.
I love Piper, and we've worked with them a lot. And what is the website?
NASDF.org.
And you are a nonprofit.
We are a not-for-profit at the moment. We've applied for nonprofit status, and I think there was one or two things we had to correct on the application. So
let's drill down onto the services that you'll provide mm-hmm. as part of this. And do you have your first clients?
We have about 25 people that have signed up in the last month and a half.
That's great.
We need 5,000 to be fully up and running. So, but that's part of the process. We understand. We just did a whole upgrade on our products and services. We really wanted to be able to offer people things that they need when they get divorced, such as child daycare services. How can we provide them with a discount? So we have that. We have discount diapers, formulas, real estate, of course. People need to buy, sell, and rent. So what we've done is if you use one of our realtors in our network, we go ahead and help offset your closing costs with a 25% credit, which nobody's ever been able to produce before. Aflac, we've been able to work out a deal with Aflac that if you purchase through our association, you get the same rate that you would get if you went through an employer as opposed to going directly to their website. That was big for us as well. We're working with some big companies like Gallagher, which is one of the largest insurance companies. They provide a lot of products and services for us. Ah, thank you, Joy. She recently did an upgrade, so I wanted to make sure I had all the products. Let's see. Office school supply discounts, Lenovo computer discounts, safety net child ID so that you can figure out where your child is at all times. Counseling and guidance. With the company that we're using, they provide three free mental health services, mental health care services, and then discounted services thereafter. We're hoping that once our membership reaches 5,000 that we can increase that to 8 free services. Discount on diapers, formulas, diabetic and medical supplies. Recurro telemedicine, so you have a nurse 24-hour hotline that you can contact if there's anything that you need. The daycare services is through a company called Learning Care Group, which is La Petite Academy, UGRO, Montessori Schools, and, of course, like I said, Aflac, real estate, and some other benefits as well.
That's really exciting. It is really very similar to the AARP model. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we know that CASA does a lot with homeless, domestic abuse, violence. Mm-hmm. We know that our friends, Jake Hornstein, our mm-hmm. Children Have Rights.
Absolutely.
Terrific friend of mine yep. who also has a service different. This is interesting because you're really there's just not enough in this space. And it is an epidemic of services failing to serve mm-hmm. families. Now, I know that the LGBTQ plus foster care was something that you were focused on. Are you also kind of looking to develop that particular demographic for this?
No. We wanted to make, well, let me back up real quick. We're an umbrella of services as well and resources. So mm-hmm. Jake is part of our group. What he is providing as far as a child custody services, as far as free legal, things of that nature. I absolutely wanted Jake on board, and thanks to Christy Bruner. She made the introduction for me over at the Chamber. There's a lot of other organizations. Our Children Have Rights, is that?
Yeah, that's yeah. Jake Hornstein.
That's Jake right, Hornstein. Right. And then we're also working with a group in Miami as well, the Children's Foundation, through David Lawrence, who is an amazing person. We've been blessed to have
used to be the Miami News, Miami Herald. I know him very well yeah. from my days, and a very good friend of Jake Hornstein's as well.
Yep. So our CFO, Adam Horowitz, is besties with him. And I asked if I could get a lunch with him, and David immediately reached out and said, I'd love to meet you. So we are expanding our umbrella to reach out to those organizations that are already providing services, but they're so hard to find. You have to go to pages 5, 6, or 7 on Google to find them. And we want to be able to have an where they just look at our site. You need resources? Click this button. You need products and services? Click this button. Make it easy and be able to incorporate the insurance product, which I was finally able to get done as well, and go after the family law attorneys and say, hey, you don't have to sell just life insurance anymore. You can offer your clients this Support Assured product as well.
You know, I just think it's very exciting that you're living a dream that, you know, basically got its start with your father, mm-hmm. and you're a family man, mm-hmm. and married, and you have a son that you've raised and grandchildren. Where is the joy in working in the nonprofit or not-for-profit and having this and starting this? Where is the joy, and how do you find balance between what you have to do for a business and the time and commitment that you have to put into NASDF?
Finding what you're meant to do as a career should also be your passion. So it all comes together. It's not something like, oh, I got to get up and go to work today. It's like, how many lives am I going to save today? How many people's lives am I going to change today? That's something I've always been passionate about. I'm a family man, but I've also had an ex that had a drug problem. And when we broke up, became homeless. So my current husband, I had to say, look, you know, I know we just started this relationship, but I'm sort of taking care of my ex. I want to make sure that he has food in his belly, that he has a place to live, that he has he's on disability and Medicaid, so that he has health insurance. I'm in that process. Can you just work with me? And I knew I was with the right person when he said, no, I get it. Let's do this. So trying to navigate that process of trying to get him on those services, from his perspective, he never would have been able to do it. He just mentally was not in the right frame of mind. And I was able to accomplish that. And I said, wow, I've got to be able to make this process a little easier and show other people how to do this. I had a former business partner who had to leave her abusive husband in the middle of the night with her baby under her arm because he locked all the doors. And I watched her go through the legal system of trying to get full custody of her child away from this gentleman, this horrific individual. And the courts didn't decide. They let it go on for almost 6 to 8 years. And she had no money, and he was very wealthy, so he was able to make it linger and linger. And it wasn't until the child turned 16 years old and he came to pick her up and she called the police and said, I don't want to go with him. That's when it stopped. But it wasn't because the courts had decided. And I would go to court and see what she was going through and said, I've got to be able to do something about that.
So, folks, if you've just tuned in to Radio St. Pete, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. This is our episode of Good Deeds, and we've been talking with Ron Platt, who helped found the National Association for Single and Divorced Families. You can find him online at nasdf.org. This is a terrific resource for helping families, single parents, navigate the system. Advice for people who want to do something, an encore chapter, and launch it before we leave this broadcast.
For people who want to start a company?
For people who want to do a good deed, a nonprofit, make a difference in the world. What's your advice?
I think for me, I've utilized a lot of the personal experiences that I've had in my life that I've sat back and said, I've got to make a change. I come from a Holocaust survivor. I'm first generation Holocaust survivor. So I heard the stories about what went on. I saw my grandfather's tattoo on his arm. My mother was in hiding, and all of those stories reflect on you and make you very passionate about making sure these things don't happen. You sort of become a protector of individuals and protectors of families, and you think, if I don't have a loud enough voice, I'm not going to be able to make the change. So my advice is, if you want to make a change, don't sit idly by. Either get involved in an organization. Don't be afraid, especially in this time that we're in right now. If you sit back and hope that other people are going to take care of this problem, it's only going to continue getting worse. If you have to be active. You've got to be able to get involved in something that you're passionate about and utilize your voice. And for me, I saw that there was a need for people who were getting divorced, who were transitioning and just needed help. And I thought, I can do this. I can take my experience and find the resources to go ahead and help these people restart their lives.
Ron, thank you so much. We're delighted to have you in studio today. Folks, we will talk to Ron again in another 6 months and see how things are going. For Radio St. Pete, I'm your host, Nanette Weiser. This is Good Deeds.